Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we want to hear from you. What's on your mind today? If there's something you'd like to talk about, something to discuss, perhaps a Bible question, well, we want to hear directly from you right now at 844-322-2742. That, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada. And if you heard the broadcast at the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you are hearing Basic Gospel Live, and you can come into the studio and see what we're talking about. So give us a call right now at 844-322-2742, because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Andrew, welcome to the microphones today. Certainly glad to have you. And I want to say happy birthday to you a day in advance.
Happy
tomorrow is your big day, isn't it?
Yes. Well, thank you, guys. Great to be with you today.
Well, good. And, Andrew and Bob, one of the big questions that all humans ask is about identity. Who am I? It's one of the things that we start pondering when we're very young. And boy, we take many routes trying to find a real answer, something that's solid, something that is unshakable, something that we can anchor ourselves to. But we're never going to find that identity until we find it in Christ Jesus. And that's one of the great truths of the gospel. In responding to the gospel, we're made new and we're given a brand new identity. And Paul talks about that in his letter to the Romans, starting in verse 15 of chapter 8. He says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Now the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." So when we come to Christ, we get a brand new identity. We're no longer sinners. We were sinners. We were saved by grace. But now we're children of God. And that's our forever identity. And Andrew, once people get a hold of that, things start to change in their lives, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, we're asking, are you behaving like a slave or are you behaving like a child of God? And many Christians, quite candidly, we do feel like slaves. It says here that the spirit we receive does not make us slaves, not living in fear. So does that characterize your Christianity? Are you living in fear that God's going to be angry with you? Are you living like you're in God's army rather than in God's family? Are you living like you're a slave who's got to earn wages with the Lord? Or are you living like you're one spirit with Jesus and that you've been qualified by him? So it comes down to recognizing you're in the family, that you've been invited to the table, that you're an heir, that you have all the rights of being in that family, that God is for you, that he's your dad, that he thinks the world of you, that you belong. He gave you that new heart so that you would belong in his family. He gave you that new righteousness within you so that you're part of the family. You're a member of God's family, literally. And when we wrap our minds around that, Bob, then the fear starts to go away because I start relating to daddy rather than judge. I start relating to God as my father and as my friend rather than someone that I need to be scared to death of. So that's what we're seeing here in Romans 8. And it just inspires such incredible confidence when we see that God has made us his children and how real that really is.
Yes, indeed. You know, so many people are asking questions about self-image and how do I improve self-image? You know, if I can just lose some weight, you know, I'll have a better self-image. If I can get a new set of clothes, I'll have a better self-image. And we're looking at worldly solutions to to be a foundation on which we stand. And boy, that just is shifting sand. But when we really come to grips with the fact that God has declared us to be children of God, that gives us something solid to stand upon. And talk about a self-image, a positive and proper self-image. That is it. And boy, God wants you to know who you are. And so much so that he has sent his spirit into your heart by whom you cry out, Abba, Father, and this spirit bears witness with your human spirit that you're indeed a child of God. So this is one of those essential truths, one of those building blocks that really allows your roots to grow deep in Jesus Christ and to live confidently in this world as a child of God. If you're struggling with that, we would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. If you have a question about identity, self-image, anything that relates to that big question we all ask, who am I? Go ahead and call 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel, Bob.
And it is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Andrew Farley joining us today. My name is Bob Davis. We're glad, as I said, that you're with us. And again, that number, 844-322-2742. Well, Andrew, because you're with us today, we had a question that came in from Lenita, who lives in Spotsylvania, Virginia, and it's concerning something that she read in your book, Twisted Scripture. Now, this particular message that I'm going to read has been very heavily edited because it was quite long, but here we go. She says, while we, referring to mankind, were yet sinners, Christ shed his blood. But if what Twisted Scripture is saying is true, my forgiveness would be based on something I do. In other words, believe, repent, turn, confess, and then I will be forgiven. I know I'm correct in this, she says. It was all about what he did, nothing to do with what we did or do or are going to do or any of that. This is not, there is none righteous, no, not one. That's why it took a perfect blood sacrifice in order to pull this off. Will you please comment on why we as humans keep wanting to slip into some act that we think is necessary in order to be forgiven, as if Jesus, God the Son, was not enough payment for the sin issue? We keep confusing the two issues. And again, that's from Lenita in Spotsylvania, Virginia.
Well, Lenita, I appreciate your writing in with this question. You know, I think that we have to look at what God's invitation is. And, you know, to answer some of what you're asking about, did Jesus do enough? Yes, he did. He said it's finished. Did he hang on a cross for the sins of the whole world? Yes, he did. Is he satisfying to God concerning the sins of the whole world? Yes, he is. He is the propitiation. Was God in Christ reconciling the world? Yes, he was. And yet we keep reading, and it says, so we beg you, we implore you, be reconciled to God. So reconciliation takes two. If you and I were in a dispute and we decided that we needed to reconcile, you could have all the desire in the world to reconcile with me, and I could dig my heels in and say, I want nothing to do with you. And so reconciliation takes two parties, and that's why Paul is begging, imploring these Corinthians in the early church. He's saying, well, we beg you, we implore you to be reconciled to God. If you're not yet a believer, come to Christ. You look at the open door analogy. I stand at the door and knock. So has God arrived at the door? Yes. Has he knocked down the door? No, he's knocking at the door. He's not going to knock down the door. He's knocking at the door. And so I believe that there has just been, over the years, some misteaching, some things as people have said, well, you know, the whole world is forgiven. They just need life. Meanwhile, other people have said the whole world is saved. Well, let's talk about this forgiveness issue because, interestingly, some of the same folks who are saying that the whole world is already forgiven of all their sins, whether they like it or not, well, they're saying that 1 John 1:9 was written to unbelievers, and that's true. So what does 1 John 1:9 say? It says, if we admit, if we confess, if we agree with God about our sin problem, then he will forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now, did you notice that word if? That word if is a condition, and it's written to somebody, right? I mean, 1 John 1:9, that condition is given to at least one person. More likely, there were thousands of readers of that passage and a lot of people that needed to say, well, wait a minute, I've been denying my sinfulness. I've been denying Jesus. I've been refusing to believe in him. I've been saying that I have no sin. I've been saying that I've never sinned a day in my life. So I need to come to my senses and admit my sinfulness to God. And when I do, coming to salvation, then what does he do? He forgives me and cleanses me of all unrighteousness. Now, was I forgiven 5 minutes before? No, I wouldn't even admit my sinfulness. Am I forgiven now? Yes. Once you admit that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, then God cleans house and moves in. I mean, we see this in Acts 26. God is sending Paul. He says, Paul, I'm sending you to turn them from Satan to God so that they might receive forgiveness and a place among those who are sanctified in me. So forgiveness has to be received. We have to admit that we are sinners before God. James chapter 4, it says, cleanse yourselves or purify yourselves, you sinners. In other words, there's some decision they need to make. They need to draw near to God and get that purification that's only found in Jesus. So let me put it another way. How much forgiveness is found in Adam? Zero. Zilch. There is no forgiveness. There is no cleansing found in Adam. So as long as I am an old creation in Adam, I'm not finding forgiveness. If I'm a new creation in Christ, then I have total forgiveness. But it's a black and white issue. I've got to be transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And guys, I'm just saying that the idea that God is going to knock down that door, force his way into our lives, it's certainly not the truth, because as we read in Revelation 20, it says they're going to be judged for their deeds. These unbelievers are judged for their deeds. Well, if their deeds were taken away, if their deeds were remembered no more, if their deeds were not taken into account, then they wouldn't be judged for them. But clearly, an unbeliever still has a sin record, and they need to come to Christ, open that door, let him come in and cleanse them of all unrighteousness. So the big contradiction is when folks will shout left, right, and center, and properly so. They'll say 1 John 1:9 is a condition for the unbeliever, not the believer. And then 5 minutes later, they'll say, but the whole world is forgiven. Well, that's a total contradiction. We need to recognize it and see that we get forgiveness in Christ, not in Adam.
Yeah, I love that. Forgiveness is not outside of Christ. You can't find it outside of Christ. It's only in Christ. And one of my favorite passages, Andrew, is Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's where forgiveness is found, in Christ and in Christ alone. And Andrew, I know this question was prompted by her reading of your book, Twisted Scripture, and exciting news. You have a conference based on that book coming up, I think November 16th, right here in Dallas, Texas. And I know there's still a few spots remaining, and you would love to see all those spots filled up. So tell us, tell our listeners about this upcoming conference, what they can expect, and how to register.
Yeah, it's the Twisted Scripture Conference. It's our first ever event of this type. It's happening November 16. That's just 2 weeks away, Saturday, November 16 in Dallas, Texas. It's going to be happening at the Hilton Garden Inn there in Las Colinas, and you can find out everything you need to know about this upcoming event on our website at andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Right there on the homepage, you'll see that Twisted Scripture Conference banner. And I mean, you know, we got to face it here. The Bible contains all kinds of challenging passages, things that make us quake in our boots. We're freaking out. Is God going to spit us out of his mouth? Is he going to say, depart from me, I never knew you? Is he going to delete you from the book of life? You know, we have so much fear. And then the Bible says, well, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And we say, well, what does that mean? Am I supposed to be scared of God? So, you know, time and time again, there are difficult, challenging passages in the New Testament. And we're going to be probing the depths of God's grace and looking at these passages and really celebrating the finished work of Christ. And it's going to be an awesome time together. It's going to be Saturday, November 16. It's the Twisted Scripture Conference in Dallas, Texas. And again, if you want to find out more, we would love to see you there. And you can register right on the homepage. Just click on that Twisted Scripture banner at andrewfarley.org.
Well, thanks, Andrew, and I hope many of our listeners will take advantage of this great opportunity to grow in grace in their knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we've got a full bank of phone calls, so let's go and try to get to as many as we possibly can. David, in Fort Worth, you are on the air.
Hi, David.
Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hey, guys. Thank you very much. I have something that's really been occupying my mind lately. I noticed that, you know, holding the door for people, you know, saying pardon me or excuse me, no longer requires a response anymore. And I'm just wondering, is that signs that we're in a godless society now, or people just that rude, and should I just accept it as a norm?
Hmm. Great question, David, and certainly speaks of the self-centeredness of kind of the culture today, doesn't it, Andrew?
Yeah, you know, we're just going to see this gravitate in that direction. I think as time passes, we're not going to find that the world gets more loving and more compassionate. Sure, we've heard the sales pitches of the world that with just a little bit more education and better government laws and regulations that we're all just going to love each other to death. Well, the reality is that speaking of death, the world is dead, and it's no surprise that there's a lack of love inside, that there's divisions and factions. I mean, we even see this in the early church as Paul is chewing out those Corinthians for their dividedness, as they're taking the world approach to church, taking the worldly approach to the Christian life. So there's definitely a challenge, and I would say the only way that we're going to experience true gentleness and kindness, you talk about being a gentleman, well, gentleness comes from the Holy Spirit. We talk about being hospitable and kind and good. Well, there's one who is good, and his name is Jesus, and he indwells us for a reason. I mean, think about it. He could have just said, here's the manual. It's called the Bible. Now go read it for 90 years, and I'll see you in heaven. But he gave us himself. He didn't just give us a book or say, go to that building, or here's a ticket to heaven. He gave us himself. He gave us his life. So when you survey the world, you see lots of empty containers. You see lots of earthen vessels that have no life in them. And what sets us apart is not just the forgiveness that we have in Christ. We were talking about that moments ago. Forgiveness is awesome. But even more is the presence of his life inside of us. So, you know, this Christian life, it does get lived miraculously. It does get lived in a way that doesn't make sense to the world. We wake up every day in a simple, childlike dependency on a God who is kind and gentle and good. And you know what? That's where genuine characteristics that we so desperately need, that's where the genuine character of God comes through. It happens in dependency.
David, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it. Hope that helps. We're going to continue with our phone calls, and let's go to Chris right here in Dallas, Texas. Hey, Chris.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Oh, thank you.
What's on your mind today?
A lot of people, you know, teach easy believism, like you say a prayer and, you know, one time and you're in the kingdom of God. But I'm more of a, we're supposed to repent and make Jesus Lord of our life. And kind of like John MacArthur teaches. And I was wondering what your take on that is.
Yeah. Well, Chris, that's a great question. And, I think a lot of times when people teach the grace of God, folks misconstrue that as easy believism, because we're always looking at the human side of that equation and not realizing what Christ has accomplished. I mean, when somebody comes to faith in Jesus Christ, there's all kinds of things that happen. You receive forgiveness of sins, you're imputed and imparted the righteousness of God, you're made into a new creation. God sends his Spirit to take up residence inside of you. So we see all of this wonderful stuff that God does at that moment of salvation. We cross over from death to life. We're made alive. We're raised to walk in the newness of life. So when we understand what Christ does, what this grace of God really is, and how he's lavished that upon us, we're going to see a whole new creature come out of that, aren't we, Andrew?
Yeah, and I honestly, I don't understand the lordship salvation arguments. I mean, if I'm calling upon the name of the Lord to save me, then that implies that I believe he's the Lord. I believe that he has authority to save me. I believe he has the power to save me, and I am submitting to that power as my only hope of salvation. Now, here I am, a spiritually dead person calling upon the name of the Lord. I have no clue what salvation means. I'm saying, Jesus, come live in my heart, and that's about all I know. Now, am I grown up? No, I've got old attitudes. I'm going to sin 20 minutes later, maybe. I'm going to sin the next day and the next day and the next day. And somebody comes up to me and says, well, if you're sinning like that, then maybe you haven't really made him Lord. So my question is, we get into this murky gray area of, have I made him Lord? Have I made him fully Lord? Am I really saved? Have I been obedient enough to prove that I'm really, really saved? And it's a slippery slope because, you know, candidly, we do read in the New Testament, for by grace you are saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. So we're just baby Christians when we start out. We don't know what it means to follow his leading internally yet. We're just getting started. We don't know the 27 attitudes he's going to work on that year in us. We're just getting started. So, you know, I just think we have to be real careful, leave lots of room for growth and maturity and development in a person's life because, you know, Jesus is standing at the door and he just says that mustard seed sized faith. That's all you need. Just turn that doorknob, open it to him. You don't have to be a master theologian. You don't have to be incredibly committed and dedicated and proving yourself. No, you're saying, Jesus, please prove yourself to me. I need something from you. I have nothing to give. I can't give my obedience and dedication and commitment. I'm dead. What I need is something from you. Your obedience saves me, and I'm calling upon you for the gift of new life. And at that point, the adventure begins. And yeah, he teaches us, we learn, we grow, we learn to say no to sin and yes to God. But that's not what saves us. We're not saved by some long-term promise that we make. We are saved by the promise of God. And he promises to never leave us and never forsake us.
Yeah, and Andrew, when we call upon the name of the Lord, when we look to him, that's the culmination of that change of mind, change of heart, that repentance that Chris was asking about. So, I mean, just looking to Jesus, you're saying, hey, I can't find life out there in the world, but Jesus has come that I might have life, and I'm receiving. Yes. And when you receive that life, everything changes. Everything changes. And the Lord of this universe comes to live inside of us. And boy, we start to depend upon him, and we start seeing incredible things happen as a result of what he's done. So it's all about his work, and that's the joy of this Christian life, is keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Well, Chris, thank you so much for your call today. We certainly appreciate it, and appreciate your heart for the good news. Thank you, my friend.
Yes, indeed. Well, friends, thank you for joining us for Basic Gospel today. If you have any question you'd like us to answer, well, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742. Or send an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Also, tomorrow, of course, the final day of the month when the bills come due. And so we so appreciate everyone who helps us keep this program on the air and online by making sure our stations and our internet providers get paid. Friends, we do this for you, but we can't do it without you. You are the reason we're on the air, and you are the reason we're able to stay on the air. So we need to hear from you today or tomorrow at the very latest. So please make your end of October gift at basicgospel.net. And to say thanks for your partnership, well, we're going to send you a copy of our book, The Basic Gospel, Essential Truths for You to Grow in the Love and Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, you can make your gift now or anytime at basicgospel.net. Andrew, very quickly, tell our listeners how they can register for Twisted Scripture.
Well, they can go to our website at andrewfarley.org, and that's happening Saturday, November 16, right in Dallas, Texas. We'd love to see you at the conference. Go to andrewfarley.org.
And for all of us at Basic Gospel, we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.